Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. I'm George Taylor with you today for podcast number 29 on Being a Blessing. Last week, we moved from talking about audiobooks to talking about spiritual matters. I want to continue talking about spiritual matters this week and for the coming probably 5 to 6 weeks. I'll be mentioning some audiobooks along the way that are appropriate for the subject matter at hand, but basically I'm seeking to use this time to do some Bible teaching. In my home congregation, the Clear Creek Church of Christ, we're making a concerted effort to get into our communities and share Jesus. You might think that that would be a core component of what any church would do, and it should be. However, I think that you'll agree that most churches are content to remain behind their walls with the idea of inviting people to come to them. That wasn't Jesus's model. From our congregation, we've sent missionaries to foreign lands. We've sent teachers as missionaries into our schools and partnered with other churches to bring Bible history teaching to the public schools here in our area. Now is the time for all the members to go into our communities to share Jesus. But how do we do that? For many Christians, it is really scary to share our faith. It was for me for many years. I'm not trained as a theologian or evangelist, but I am a follower of Jesus. I've been born again with Him and imbued with God's Holy Spirit, so I possess the same spiritual qualifications that the apostles had, and they turned the world upside down with the message of Christ. So how do I use the gifts that God has given me to bless others with the message of Christ? I want to share a message with you that was given by Clear Creek's teaching minister, Joey Davis, entitled Bless. In this message, he shares a basic plan for sharing Jesus with others. This plan isn't new, but by putting it all together, he makes it very simple. So here's Joey.
Who's your friend? The one that you want to know Jesus that doesn't. Or maybe they do, but they've never really taken that step to commit themselves to being His followers and His people. Who is that person? Several years ago, we did something here we called the One Campaign. And yeah, we're big on campaigns like that. And the One Campaign simply stated this: we want to ask all of you to find one person and pray for them once a day at 1 o'clock for 1 year. Pretty simple thing, pretty simple request. A lot of people did that. And what happened when that was going on, and even the numbers will support this, is this congregation exploded. People took this challenge of that one person once a day at 1 o'clock for 1 year, and they found that person and they prayed for them. And whether or not they came to Christ, it's funny how God drew those people to the ones praying for them. And they had these opportunities to share who Jesus is in their life and to tell their stories and talk about how they were intersecting with the stories of Jesus. And that's what bless is all about. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, we read these words. It says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And I look at this verse of Scripture, and I wonder this. Maybe you have too. Why did they doubt? And what were they doubting? It says they had walked, probably, if you look at the geography, that he had asked them to walk 65 miles to meet him on the side of a hill so that he could tell them what he wanted them to do. And they walk up there, they knew about all the things he had done. He had raised the dead, he had raised himself from the dead, the seeing saw, the blind saw, the lame walked, they saw it all. And they get up to the side of this mountain, and after everything they see, did they doubt Jesus? Or did they doubt themselves? You know, we know the Great Commission. We've heard the Great Commission our whole lives. And we know that we're supposed to go and make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them to go and do the same. Intellectually, we understand this, but something down deep in our heart of hearts, I would dare say the majority of the people in this room would tell you that either they don't believe that they can or they don't believe that they will ever do this. And the ones who do believe they'll do that might tell you that they may never do this with anyone outside their immediate family. I'm here to tell you today that not only can you do this, but that God has equipped you to do this in a very unique way. Years ago, I went to listen to a speaker. Some of you know who he is. He's Lou Holtz. And I love to go hear Lou Holtz speak because he's so bad, he makes me feel good about my speaking ability. He speaks with a lisp. He's short. He's not very attractive. I'm even better looking than Lou Holtz, and that's just hard to believe. And I sat and I listened to this guy at this seminar, and I walked away thinking, man, the practices in business, the practices in dealing with people, those things are absolutely life-changing. And I started thinking, that is the most deep and insightful speech I've ever heard until about 2 days later. And then I realized everything he told me I already knew. It's just that he had placed it in a context to where it made sense. That's what BLESS is all about. This morning, I'm going to share the acronym BLESS. Each one of the letters means something. And if you're from outside, this is training on how to make disciples of your friends and your neighbors, of all of us who think that maybe we'll never be able to do this. This will tell you that you already possess these tools, and if you'll use them with this context, you're going to have opportunities you can't even imagine. But what it's all about is I'm going to tell you five things that you already know. You already do most of these things. But when you place them in this context, they become incredibly powerful. So, as we start the training this morning, let's start with the very first letter. B stands for begin with prayer. Now I want to take you to an old story. It's a story about Peter and James. Many of you may know who they are. They're apostles. James, brother of Jesus. And they've heard the Great Commission. They've been told to be witnesses, and therefore now they go to be those witnesses. Well, they go out and they're arrested. They're arrested for preaching the name of Jesus. They're arrested because of various other reasons. They're brought before the rulers of the day, the magistrates. They're told never to preach in the name of Jesus again. They're threatened. They're released. And what do? Well, they don't do what I would have done. Me, if I reach opposition or pressure or whatnot, usually I back away. These guys get together, and in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and then 29 and 31, we find out this. It says, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they, everybody, by the way, lifted their voices to God with one accord, and said, let me tell you what they didn't say. Oh Lord, keep us from being hurt. Oh Lord, save us from embarrassment. Oh Lord, make this easy for us. Here's what they said. Oh Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And they spend the next several verses reminding God who he is because they were trying to remind themselves as well. And they get into verse 29 and it says, and now Lord, take note of these threats and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. You know what they were doing? They weren't praying for a solution, although we should begin all prayer with a solution. That's why they told God who he was, because he is the solution to our problems. But here's what they did. They stood before God and they said, God, we want an opportunity. We want an opportunity to make a difference. We want an opportunity to speak your word with boldness. We know that they're threatening us. We know that this is dangerous. We know that there's something laying out there that we're not ready for, but we know you are. Therefore, allow us to be bold. You know, we say that we do just one thing. That we find people who don't know Jesus and we bring them into a life-changing relationship with Jesus by connecting them with God and one another, and that's what Connection Sunday is all about. But do we begin it with prayer? Do we realize that God is the foundation and the beginning of all that? That we have been called to pray to God for an opportunity to do that one thing. And that before we ever try to do that one thing, we should start by going to the solution rather than the problem. What kind of things do you pray for? Do you pray for things for your family? Do you pray for things for yourself? Or do you pray with a kingdom mindset? That you'll be able to be in the path of someone who needs to know who Jesus is, and that you'll get an amazing opportunity to share that story. The action item on this is pretty simple. Our action item for beginning in prayer is this. We want you to ask, God, how do you want me to bless the people in the places that you've sent me? B stands for begin with prayer. Our next point, L stands for listen. I've studied leadership for years, and one of the things that I find amazing that every leader has to be taught is how to listen. You know, listening is one of the great skills that we have. My dad used to always tell me that everyone should use their mouth and ears in the proportion that they were given, and he was wrong. That's still way too much talking. A guy who used to go to church here who's gone on to be with the Lord, dear encourager, Jim Cannon, once told me, you know, I never learned anything talking. And you know, it's true. We should be people who know how to listen. In James chapter 1, verse 19, James writes very practically to this group of Jews trying to learn how to be Christians. And he says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Good advice. Question is, how do we listen, and why is listening so important? Well, before we talk about why listening is important, let's talk about how to listen. You know, there's some keys that we need to realize or know when it comes to listening to others. One of the things that we need to do is if we're trying to bless the life of someone and we've prayed for this opportunity, the opportunity has come to us, one of the things about listening we need to be aware of is our environment. Not long ago, I was at lunch with some friends, and we were in Logan's. And when I left Logan's, I was hoarse from trying to talk to these people over the music overhead. Now, I'm not an old guy. I like loud music, but not when I'm trying to talk. And so control your environment. Make sure if you've got an opportunity to sit down with someone and they're going to tell you what's on their heart, you can actually hear what they have to say. And then practice what's called RASA, R-A-S-A. First, receive. Receive what they're saying to you. Okay? I am notorious, and I really shouldn't tell you this. I'm notorious that when I'm in a conversation with someone, I'll get halfway in this conversation, and I'm no longer listening to anything they're saying. What I'm doing is I'm rehearsing my response. I've listened to part of what they're saying. I think I already know where they're going, and so now in my mind, I'm rehearsing their response. And when they finish, it's like, I don't even know it. Take time, receive what they're saying. Understand that what they're telling you is their truth. And then acknowledge is the next one. You receive and then acknowledge it. Recognize that these people are sharing something about themselves and sharing with you sometimes their needs, their hurts, their desires, whatever they are. And you need to focus on those things. Acknowledge those things. One of the great acknowledgments you just saw is, you know what, make eye contact with people. Not in a creepy way, okay? But make eye contact with people, appropriate eye contact, so that they'll know that you're acknowledging what's going on. Next thing is, yes, summarize. You might want to say, I hear you saying blank, and make sure that what you're receiving is what they're communicating. And then last is ask. If you got any questions, clarify those things. But while you're listening, there's things that you should never do. Never make judgments. Never give solutions. It's not a time for that. Receive, acknowledge, summarize. Ask. Well, why is this important? You know, there's an old saying that has almost become cliche, and that is, no one knows how much you care, or no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And until you listen to what someone has got on their heart, they're not going to assume that you care at all. Our action item for this is pretty simple. Don't talk, but listen to people. Their struggles, their pains, their places that God is in the places that God has sent you. Listen. So we've begun with a prayer. Now we're going to learn to listen. We're going to make eye contact, and we're not going to be like Dwight and be creepy. We're just going to take in everything that they're telling us, because they're going to tell us some things that are important. There will be things in there called cries for help. If you were here on the Tuesday night that Kim Huxford was here, he talked about this a little bit, that in your conversations with people who are outside the church family, there are always these cries for help. Things like, I'm new to town and I don't know where to meet people, or where do you get your laundry done, your dry cleaning done, or who can I trust to work on my home? Guess what? All those people are right here. It gives you a perfect segue to talk about your church family and who these people are. My wife's not here this week. She's on vacation with her parents, so I'm going to tell a Melissa story, but you can't tell her I told you this. All right? I'm trusting you. She didn't get a chance to hear Cam. And so she comes home one night after going to an exercise class, and she said, I felt so good today. There was this girl who was like in her late 20s that came into class, and she had never been to class before, so she asked me to help her set up her weights, her all her stuff. And she said, I'm in town, and I'm new in town, and I'm working for the railroad, and I came to this class just because I want to meet some people. To which I responded, did you invite her to church? To which she responded, that never crossed my mind. Cries for help. You hear them all the time. If you'll just listen with a different context. If you'll pray to God and you'll say, you know what, God, put someone in my way, and then you listen, guess what? You're going to hear these cries for help. And then you're going to do something that is really cool, because E stands for eat.
Eric and I have always wanted to know our neighbors. When we were first married, we lived in an apartment complex, and we didn't want to let that stop us from having people over and getting to know people around us. So we had a lot of people over. When we moved into our house, same thing, I would accidentally cook too much food. Then I would take the kids outside and we went door knocking and invited our neighbors over to have meals with us. It's something that we have tried to do, getting to know our neighbors. I have a dear friend in our neighborhood. We're also Facebook friends, and she started posting about inviting people to your table, but having the table be outside. So I got one over Easter, she got one soon after, and we've had a couple organized events at our tables. We had a coffee and donuts party. We invited our whole block, which is 30 houses. 30 houses. We had no idea who would come, but the coolest thing was that the neighbors that we knew didn't know each other. So it was a good connecting thing to start off, to kind of kickstart this turquoise table in our front yard. And since then, it's been a roller coaster of things that have happened that the Lord has just brought to us as a family. One of my neighbors is having a lot of trouble, and so we and some of my other neighbors are trying to help her through some of her struggles. Another one of my neighbors' houses got flooded and came to us and said, I have standing water in my house and it's been sitting there for a week. And we said, you're going to stay with us tonight. A very obvious way that we share Jesus with them is by praying before our meals. And for my neighbor in distress, it's been very meaningful to pray before a meal, because we include some of the things that she's going through in our prayer.
I know, you look at me and think, he's got that one down. I don't. Here's why. We want to begin with prayer, and we want to listen, and we want to eat. And the eat implies that you do it with someone else. This is a testimony, by the way, from Preston Crest Church of Christ. It's only a part of the testimony. This young woman decided that she was going to put a table in her front yard and use it to reach her neighbors. We want you to do the same thing. We invite you to do that, because it's important that you meet your neighbors. And guess what's the best way to do that? Eating with them. You know, when I had a friend who was every year would go a couple of weeks to the Ukraine, and he would speak in one of the colleges over there. Probably sounds familiar to some of you. He would teach about Jesus, and they would ask questions. And he met a man, and he called him friend. Steve was bad about calling anybody, hello, friend. And the man looked at him and said, two men are not friends until they've eaten a pound of salt together. And what he was talking about was ordinarily in the Ukraine, you'd sit down over a meal and you'd have a big loaf of bread and they'd have salt on the table mixed with olive oil. And you would dip in the olive oil, you would rub it on the block of salt, and you would eat the bread because the bread's so bland. And he's saying, it takes that much time to become a friend. And it was the same way in the New Testament, same way with the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, read this way. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They had big church. And then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And look what happened. And the Lord added the number daily those who were being saved. Why? Because they were spending time creating relationship. They ate. Guys, the action item on this one's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Eat. You just can't check this off. Eat with people. Having a meal with people, just a cup of coffee builds relationships. I told you I'm not good with this. I'm going to get better. It's not unusual for me to go 3 days and never eat a meal with anybody. That's not going to happen. I'm going to make a commitment, and I want you to too, that regularly you find people, you eat with these people, and you build these relationships. Because begin with prayer, listen to what they say, and while you eat with them, you're going to hear even more. Listen even more. The next thing is the first S, and it stands for serve.
You know, my mother used to say, long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
This was taken 14 years ago today. That video was made 14 years ago today after the fall of the Twin Towers. They'd gone to Mr. Rogers and they'd ask him, during this time of tragedy and catastrophe where there's children everywhere, what would you tell them? And he said, find the helpers. Find the helpers. You know, there's people out there that don't know Jesus. They have needs in their life and they're looking for the helpers. They're looking for people who will make a difference, who will listen and do something about it. They're looking for someone to serve them. And if you'll take the time to pray for these people and listen to these people and build relationship with these people, they're going to give you an opportunity to serve them. And to do something in their life that you may not think it's much of anything, but to them, it's an amazing thing that you're doing for them. You know, a lot of times we think of service as something we grudgingly do. Jesus saw service so differently from that. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus is speaking and he's telling his disciples, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. And we're going to stop right there, Clint, for just a second. You know, sometimes we want to be in charge. We want to matter. We want to do all that. And we'd like to force our way into the situation. And he's saying, you know, they do all that. And then he says, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be a slave. And even the Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. He's saying this. You want to be great in the kingdom economy? If you want to be great when you're praying about things in the kingdom that matter, here's how to be great. Serve. Because servanthood equals greatness in God's kingdom. And it's not about serving one another. It's about serving people who are helpless, people who are disenfranchised, or maybe people who are just crying for help. And when you're able to serve those people, you create an economy with them. Where later you may have a great opportunity. The action item for this is quite simply, is serve. If you listen to people and eat with people, they'll tell you how to love them. And you'll know how to serve. So be the helper. Everybody's looking for hope. And the way you find hope is to find the helper. Be the helper. Now we've talked about beginning with prayer. We're talking about listening. Talking about eating. Talking about serving. And we're talking about all these things leading up to this last S. This last S is the biggie. This last S is story. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but here's the truth. Most of you know it. You are just as afraid of telling your story about how you came to faith as he was of the water. You've always been able to do it. You've always had the tools to do it because all of you tell your story every day. Our favorite subject is me. I came in this morning and he didn't know that this was a trial, but it was. And I meet every Sunday morning with the AV team, and Clint's running our slides this morning, so I had a conversation with Clint. We started talking. I learned that Clint went to the University of Tennessee, that he roomed across the hall from a guy who was a Vanderbilt fan because he has good sense. Who eventually transferred to Vanderbilt, which is even cooler. He actually had a conversation on campus with Peyton Manning, that he is a huge Tennessee fan. He's wanted to be a Titans fan, but he has a hard time doing that. I told him a little bit about me and my relationship with my father-in-law, and guess what we just did? We told our story. Pretty simple. You tell your story all the time, but do you tell your story about how you came to faith? Can you do that? Yeah, you can. You know your story. You know it like the back of your hand. All you need is the opportunity and a little bit of practice. Someone needs to push you in so that you can practice your swimming, your story. Because eventually you're going to find out that you can actually do it. And you're also going to find in that you are never in over your head. God's not going to push you in over your head. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And look at this next part. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What's your elevator story about how you came to faith? You know what an elevator story is? Some of you may, some of you may not. If you were getting the first floor of a building and you were pushed to the fifth floor of the building, you've probably got about 30 seconds. In 30 seconds or less, can you tell someone why you believe what you believe? Probably can. Or at least you can start the conversation. But here's the big thing. We've talked about believing or beginning with prayer. We've talked about listening. We've talked about eating. We've talked about serving. Well, why do we talk about all those things first? Because you have to earn the right to tell your story. You have to build relationship with people to tell your story. I know some of you are going to walk away from here and you're going to think this. You're going to think that this is some huge method, some contrived formula that Joey has come for so that he has the angle that we're going to bring these people in church by using this formula. And it's not that at all. All I'm saying is if you'll begin with prayer and you'll listen to people, you'll eat with people, you'll serve people, they'll give you the opportunity to tell your story because you've built relationship. It's not about tricking anyone. It's not about controlling anyone. It's about building relationships with people because that's how they did it in the first century. That's how we do it today. We bless people. We begin with prayer. We listen. We eat. We serve. And we tell our stories. And the action item here is very simple. When the time is right, jump in. Share the story of how Jesus changed your life, our life. And we lead our friends to the intersection of his story and our story, and maybe even their story. And then you have that opportunity to not just tell your story, but the story of how Jesus changed your life. Now, you're shocked, but people will respond to that. B-L-E-S-S. We have to bless the people who are around us. In Matthew 5:16, we're told this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Guys, it's all about him, not about us. The church won't stand in your way. Your neighbor won't stand in your way. And I won't stand in your way. Do you really want to do it? Because if you do, you have an opportunity to bless your community. Let's pray. God, help us. We are challenged. We want to reach people. We want your help. We ask you to spur within us a passion, courage, to do what you've called us to do. We want to do that just one thing. And we know that you've removed all the barriers, so it's time for us to do it. So bless us to do that in the name of your Son, so that all will know him. And amen.
This has been the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and family. You can reach me with your comments. I'm on Facebook as Narration by George. I'm on Twitter at Narration by Geo. Or you can contact me through my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Join me again next Wednesday when the Narration by George podcast will again be new. We'll be talking about the questions you get when you do share your faith, God has blessed you, so you be a blessing to others. Bye.